Last month, President Trump called Russian-purchased Facebook ads a hoax. I've looked at those Russian-sponsored Facebook ads. I certainly hope you've had a chance to review them. Are they, in fact, a hoax?
All the information we've provided to the committee did run on Facebook. So
it's a yes or no answer. I know you're a lawyer. It's hard, but
no, the existence of those ads were on Facebook and was not a hoax.
So in the interest of just clearing this up and giving the American people some transparency into this so that they can see the nature of what typically gets used to divide the American populace, why not simply release those Russian-financed Facebook ads to the public, redact the pictures, but release the content so that people can understand how this works?
Senator, we believe this committee is really best placed to determine what information to release. We stand ready to assist in that effort. We agree that the more people can see the type of content that ran and the divisions that were sought to be exploited, the better.
Well, I think we have a disagreement on this committee as to whether or not to release those. I would urge all of you as platforms to consider that kind of activity as well. I want to move on to Russia's RBC magazine, which recently revealed that St. Petersburg's troll factory employed hundreds of trolls, including 90 at the quote-unquote U.S. desk alone, and spent about $2.3 million in 2016 to meddle in U.S. politics, actually contacted U.S. activists directly and offered them thousands of dollars to organize protests. Your platforms are all global. They're not just U.S. platforms. And there are substantial open source reporting right now suggesting that similar divisive activity may be occurring, for example, in the Catalonian region of Spain right now. What are each of you doing right now to make sure that your platforms aren't being used in similarly divisive ways across the globe to sow discord in Western democracies? And in particular with the Catalonian example, are you familiar with what you're doing there?
Senator, we are focused on preventing this form of abuse globally. So when we say we have an obligation to protect the platform from being used for abuse, that's a global obligation. So we are focused on elections as they appear on the calendar, including the Catalonian election that occurred recently, as well as the other elections that are on the calendar going forward. We're focused on ensuring that all actors on the platform comply with local law, as Mr. Walker suggested earlier, and we are focused on making sure that any foreign threat actors that are seeking to undermine democracy anywhere are removed from the platform.
Have each of you had to take corrective action against actors in that debate who were not who they purported to be? Mr. Stretch?
Senator, the key, I'd say, progress
That's a yes or no once again. Mr. Edgett.
I believe so, but I'll need to follow up with your staff.
Thank you. Mr. Walker.
We're constantly removing fraudulent, deceptive accounts from our services. I'm not familiar with the specifics there.
You can get back to us. Mr. Edgett, given the discussion we've had about automated Twitter accounts and bots, and the range is obviously very wide, but we know that's a problem. And you made an assertion earlier that I want to come back to and just make sure it's accurate. Do you require at Twitter by service agreement that profiles are linked to real names, real people, or some other way to make sure that those go back to real human beings, from Social Security numbers to other unique identifiers?
We do not. We require some information at sign up, but we don't require you to verify your identity. We have services that verify identities on the platform.
So why on earth not?
because we see the power of Twitter being used by folks like social or political dissidents, embedded journalists in difficult countries, who use the ability to not have to identify themselves by name like on other platforms to speak their truths to power. We see that.
So the reason is for social dissidents and people in third world countries or where there is a hostile government regime, it is not your business model. You're not reliant, for example, on those automated accounts to generate revenue?
We don't rely on – there's some good automation on the platform. I'm happy to talk about that, but we do not rely on this – the bad, malicious automation that we're talking about here.
If I were running a political campaign today and I were to advertise on local television, on cable television, in print or on the radio or even through the mail, I would have to have a paid-for-by disclaimer on those ads. Now, Mr. Walker, I believe, has already addressed this issue, but is there any policy reason that online social media ads, given how effective and influential they have clearly become, shouldn't meet that same level of transparency?
We agree with the transparency efforts, and last week announced that we're creating a transparency center, not just for political ads, which will have even more information than all ads, but a transparency center for all ads so that you can see not just the ad that you've seen and why it's been targeted to you, but all of the other ad creative from that same advertiser. On the election front, mm-hmm. you'll also be able to see who's paying for the ad, how much they've spent on this ad campaign and all ad campaigns, and you'll be able to see what the targeting criteria are. So to better educate around why these ads are on the platform.
I appreciate that, Mr. Stretch.